This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
This is Stephen A. from Hollis, Queens. It's 3 p.m. and the Michael K. Show starts now. Holla at your boy, Michael, Don Juan, and Peter.
Thank you, Stephen A., and a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on this Wednesday. It is March 17th, 2021. Michael K., Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg. We're apart, but we're together with all of you for the next 4 hours, and well, the other 20, that is your responsibility. Happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody.
Sure.
Please celebrate responsibly and hope you have a great day. It's been a wonderful day so far. And we're looking forward to more joy and laughter, and we'll make you happy through the next 4 hours, I promise. And if you're near a TV or if you have the Yes app, you've got to take a look at Peter, who's growing a mustache, Don, and you would have to admit that Peter looks like he's right off the page of Pornhub, because it's not a positive look at all. I don't know why he's doing the Starsky and Hutch revisiting. It doesn't make sense.
And a specific porn as well. Doing porn.
Wait, I'm sorry?
Yeah.
I don't even know what that means exactly.
It's out there. You do it with what you want, but I think you look fabulous.
Listen, I don't know if it's good or terrible. Like, when I did it, I thought it was terrible, and I know that it might be. I just feel like my dad's had a lifetime mustache. Lifetime.
And he scored Mindy with it.
That's right. Yep. I've never seen him without it. Why not give it a shot? Give it a few days. I'm going to give it to Friday and see if it grows in and looks like something. Right now, it is pretty repug, but it's entertaining to me.
I've got to tell you, and you know that I love you, okay? It is so skeevy right now. It just looks disgusting. You look like an objectionable character in a bad Starsky and Hutch episode.
Don, honestly, right now, picture me in like with a hat and a long top coat and smoking a cigarette. This doesn't look badass?
It was bothering me during our pre-show meeting, and let me see if I can punch it up. But there was kind of a balding, skinny guy with a mustache on Sesame Street. Do you remember, Michael?
No, I never watched Sesame Street.
Was he the creep of Sesame Street?
No. He wasn't on every episode.
Near the children's playground, so they got him out of there. He's awful.
They wouldn't let him on Sesame Street.
He hung around on the outskirts of the street.
Right. If anyone sees him, they have to call the police.
I'm going to find a picture of this individual, because that's kind of what
I don't like where this is going.
You look like Danny DeVito after a long bender. That's what you look like. I just don't know why you would do it. You have such a handsome face. It doesn't make sense.
I'm going to give it a couple of days and see.
I think you should tweet it out for those that are listening on the radio. They should also be able to, luxuriate in this.
Here, yes. I'll give yes a nice still shot for them to use. Ready?
Okay.
All right.
Beautiful.
Excuse
now,
me?
Before we get into the business of sports, all three of us, and Andrew and Anthony as well, and this isn't being corny, if we could have a collective hug of the people that listen and watch our show, today we would do it. Now, we know that next, a week from today, Don and Peter will do a couple of innings on a Yankee game with me.
That's right.
Yankees against the Blue Jays from Steinbrenner Field. And, we promised Flip that when he changed his mind and that he would, put Don and Peter on for those two innings, that we would raise money for Make-A-Wish, which is a charity that's near and dear to his heart and his wife's heart and to my heart and Jody's heart as well. And so we set as a goal $10,000 to raise so you could support Make-A-Wish. And I think, Peter, we actually said the address for the first time in the middle of ENN. Am I right?
It was the middle of ENN. So essentially, Michael, only the listeners we have in the last part of the day are people who followed us on Twitter are
right.
aware of this.
Right. Well, the address is bit.ly/kspringtraining if you'd like to support Make-A-Wish. Well, after we set it at about 6:15, right around there, we very quickly got up to the goal of $10,000. And because of the generosity of every single one of you listening to the show, that a wish has already been granted. There's a young man by the name of Kyle who his original wish was he would like to get a behind-the-scenes tour of Yankee Stadium. Now, with all the pandemic rules in effect, that was not going to be possible right away. So rather than waiting, Kyle rejiggered his wish and said he wanted to have his own space other than his bedroom where he could hang out, attend school remotely, have his gaming consoles hooked up, and kind of a incredible sports room. And the $10,000 that was raised yesterday has granted that wish for Kyle.
Wow.
Unreal.
I mean, thanks to everybody out there who, I mean, we didn't even push it because in this day and age, so many people have lost their jobs. So many people are struggling. We get that. And without even pushing it, you people reached down so quickly and without like pushback and just did it. And this young man who's going through his own trials and tribulations is going to get his wish granted. So although we had a goal of $10,000, we're going to keep up the site. And maybe we'll be able to grant more wishes because of everybody's generosity that listens and watches this show. So, again, not lying, not being sappy. If we could hug you, we would. It is so great what you people did in a very, very difficult time for people with losing jobs and things like that. So thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you so much. And, you know, if we could use this show to make people a little bit happier. We've gotten so many phone calls over the last couple of months. You've helped us get through the pandemic, and I always feel embarrassed. You guys helped us get through the pandemic. To do these 4 hours, it's kind of a respite away from everything that's been going on in the world, and now your largesse has been able to grant Kyle the wish that he wanted, and we're going to keep up the address and donate at your leisure, and maybe we could grant more wishes, and we'll have that site up where you could support Make-A-Wish until Don and Peter do the game. Sound good?
It's amazing.
It sounds amazing, and it was so heartwarming, Michael, because when I was having dinner after the show, I kept hitting refresh, and it kept going up and kept going up, and I was getting tweets from people saying, you know, I don't have a lot of money or I lost my job, but this just seems like so important that I'm going to give what I can, and whether it's a dollar, whether it's $5, it adds up. So I know it's a lot of people are strapped for cash, but when you hear that story, if you got anything extra to give, it just – to be able to put a face on it, right? You hear Make-A-Wish, you hear charities, but to know that that money specifically going to that type of cause, to that kind of kid, that kind of moment is just amazing.
Yeah. Thank you, everybody. Thank you so much.
I just posted it again on my Twitter, at Rosenberg Radio. So if you just want, if you can't find it directly, just go over to my Twitter, and you'll see I reposted it. I think we could get, I don't want to go crazy here, because we've already, our audience has already been amazing. Michael, I wouldn't be surprised if we got to 20 by the end of today. That's the kind of
be wonderful. And usually $10,000 is usually what a wish some wishes cost.
And let me tell the audience one thing: you better believe that if we do this kind of damage this year, Don and I go to the bargaining table next year, going, we want to do a whole game. We'll raise $50,000.
And you
want to
do
a whole game?
Not even a spring training. You want to do a Yankee Red Sox regular season game in September? That's what you want.
By the way, you're joking, but let's keep raising money. You never know what's possible, Michael. You never know.
All right, so thank you, everybody. Nets against Indiana tonight. So we're going to be on Yes until 6:30, but we'll be on radio till 7. So it's a 7 o'clock start in Indiana, and we just find out that Kyrie Irving, who I was ready to declothe to watch him tonight. I will not watch him tonight. He is out tonight with groin soreness.
Oh, it's the worst.
Yeah. If he had played, who knows? Somebody else might have had it. But I will tell you this. Let's talk a little bit about the Knicks last night. We talked about the four-game stretch that the Knicks had coming out of the second half of the All-Star game. And those were four tough situations there. And you probably thought the best they could do is 1-3. And that's what they did, was 1-3. But to me, the 1-3, I'm going to take moral victories. I like what Julius Randle said after the game. He said, I don't believe in moral victories. I believe in win or loss. Great. That's what a player should think. But we're kind of looking from outside the bubble into, you know, the realistic sphere of what the Knicks are. They could have easily gone 3-1. They could have won the net game And they could have won the game against the 76ers yesterday. They could have. Now, no valor or no medals for trying, as they say. But this team has to take small incremental steps. They almost beat the Nets. They almost beat the Sixers. And those are the two best teams in the East, according to the schedule, according to the standings. The two best teams in the East. Now, I never thought they had a chance against the Nets. But last possession, they had a chance against the Nets. So whatever I think, it doesn't matter. Yesterday, they were the better team for three quarters of that game. And I believe that what got them, and Walt Frazier said it exactly when it was happening, you could see they got tired. You could see that the two games in two nights got them tired. They didn't have their legs under their shots. They didn't move as quickly defensively. But they had the game plan, they had the gumption, and they had enough talent that they could have beaten the Sixers if they kept their legs under them for the fourth quarter. I believe they scored just 14 points in the fourth quarter. And the Sixers just squeezed by. Now, you're not going to throw a parade because the Sixers are without their best player, Joel Embiid. But the Sixers have won six games in a row, and they've won every game since Joel Embiid went out. So they're a good team. They're the best team in the East. Mm. I like what I saw, Don and Peter, of the Knicks yesterday. They didn't embarrass themselves. If they'd gone into Philadelphia and got blown out, you almost had the excuse. Tough loss in Brooklyn, second game of back-to-back. They didn't do that. They actually were. Since I said the Nets were the better team the day before, the Knicks were the better team overall yesterday. They really were, and I think that their fatigue got them. And the fact that the Sixers are just, they have a little more talented scorers. The Knicks don't have responsible scorers that you know they're going to hit the big shot. They don't have that yet.
There's a phrase that we use in sports, and usually it doesn't work, right? The whole style points. And that's always as a negative. Like, there's no style points. Go out there and win the game. Yeah, but for a team like the Knicks that we're evaluating day in and day out, I think there's room for style points. Because certainly we killed them for losing by 30 points to Milwaukee. Yeah, Milwaukee was a better team, but that was unacceptable. That was an unacceptable performance to get blown out. So if we can evaluate the style points in a negative where, hey, yeah, they're supposed to lose to the Bucks, but should they have lost by 32 points, whatever it was? Well, then doesn't it work the reverse, where you're going up against a better net team, a better Sixer team, and you play well and you have a lead in the fourth quarter like you did last night? Matter of fact, a double-digit lead going into the fourth quarter, and then you're down to the last shot against the best team in basketball in the Nets. Shouldn't that count too? There's no style points for the Nets or the Lakers or the Sixers. But for a team that's literally being evaluated every single time they play, can't you compliment them for hanging with a team that they should lose to? Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm going to compliment them. I like what I saw. And now, you know, we're talking about the loss of Embiid, right? Well, the Knicks didn't have Derrick Rose, and they didn't have Elfrid Payton. They don't really have a point guard.
They're second of back-to-backs, too.
Yeah, so second of back-to-backs. Quickly, I don't think he's a great point guard, and he didn't have a shot yesterday. I think Quickly's better off the ball. And Elfrid Payton certainly has his warts as a point guard, but he's okay. And Frank Ntilikina is a really good defender. He can't score. I think he's 0 for his last 15 from the field. That's significant. So all things considered, as Don said, we're giving style points today. We're in a generous mood. We're giving style points.
No,
to be embarrassed about, Knick fan. Nothing.
No, they deserve credit for playing that hard. It fell apart at the end, but all of us would have excused if they'd gotten smacked up in Philly, and instead they were great. Now, here's the one thing I look at, though, guys. We're so close to R.J. Barrett being able to really be considered a guy. And one of the issues I have with him, guys, is how much he shoots the ball. Last night, he was only 0 for 1 from 3-point. I just don't know. He had 17 points, guys. What if he put up 4 threes last night, 5? You know, he's shooting 35% from three. So correct me if I'm wrong, Michael. If you're shooting 35% from three, doesn't it benefit you in the position RJ's in to take 5 a night?
I don't know.
I just think he needs to up his output. They don't have enough other scorers.
35 is the overall output, but you've watched the games with him, Peter. He can easily go 0 for 9. I mean, it's either he's hot or not. Ball. So he's just all of the Knicks except for Julius Randle are extremely streaky shooters. They had open looks down the stretch in the fourth quarter that would have put the game away. They can't hit him. Burks couldn't hit it.
Quickly couldn't hit it.
They just couldn't hit those shots. They're not. That's the thing that gets me about the Knicks. What Thibodeau has done, and you can teach defense, and because a lot of defense is determination and try.
Yeah, exactly.
And he has made them an outstanding defensive team. You can't teach offense. You have to either be a great shooter or you're not. And the Knicks don't have great shooters on that team. They don't have a J.J. Redick. The best shooter they have this year is Julius Randle, the All-Star. The other guys could have hot nights. Quickly could have hot nights. But they're inconsistent. They're not good shooters. They're not great scorers. And that's what we talk about with making that next big acquisition, to get that stud that's going to get you the three when you need it, that you have a reasonable belief that every time he throws a shot up, he's going to hit it. The Knicks don't have that player other than Randle.
And plus, it gives you a chance to relax, right, when you got the offense going. Because when you got to play that kind of ferocious defense for 48 minutes, it's exhausting.
Yep.
That's probably why they didn't have legs in the fourth, because you're right. It's all effort and determination. And when you're a team that's not going to shoot lights out, Peter, that means you got to keep it low scoring. You got to play defense for 48 minutes. And what's going to happen in the fourth quarter? What's going to happen in the playoffs in a best of seven? When that's why, like, beating the Nets, like when what Omar called yesterday about, you know, we can play the defense, we can play that way, and we can hang with them. Yeah, but when you do that every single game, what are you going to have left? It's got to be exhausting to play that way.
Yeah, you could see defensively is the first time it showed up with about 4 or 5 minutes remaining that they weren't rotating to their man, and that's just tired. That's just fatigue, tired legs. They didn't get there, and then it started to manifest itself on the offensive end, because in order to take nice jump shots, you have to have legs, and they didn't have their legs. No excuse. This is a compacted year of 72 games. They're trying to squeeze it all in the normal amount of time, and with a later start. And you're going to have a lot of back-to-backs. Sorry, that's the game. And last night they didn't have it. But I don't think they had to hang their head about anything. In a very difficult four-game stretch, the only game they embarrassed themselves was against Milwaukee.
And they haven't since. And the effort has been there in all three following that. I really do believe that Milwaukee game was the fault of mentality. Well, we're not going to beat this team. And the Bucks were trying to get the revenge from the loss earlier in the year. That was a perfect storm. But what you saw in the next three, the win against Oklahoma City and the losses against Brooklyn and Philadelphia, of what this team is capable of doing. And if they played anybody else, right, other than the top three teams in the East in those four games, in Milwaukee, Brooklyn, and Philadelphia, they're 4-0. You know, if they had lesser teams in those three losses, Michael, they probably win all four of these games.
Yeah, they could have. They could have. Although Milwaukee's better. All three teams they played. Oklahoma City without Gilgeous Alexander, they might not be a better team. So the Knicks slapped them around. But the other three are better teams than the Knicks.
Right.
They just aren't.
Right. Absolutely. And you didn't like the effort against Milwaukee. But I think a lot of that was just because of what Milwaukee had happened to them earlier in the year. But the two best teams in the conference are Philadelphia and Brooklyn. And they almost beat both of them. Now, that one day almost is not going to be enough.
Right.
But in the maturation of this team, I'm sorry, I think we're still in that almost nice effort style points phase of the relationship.
Now, on the flip side, who's the next game, guys?
I'll tell you in a second. I have it right here because I'm prepared. The next game is going to be Orlando tomorrow.
So you can't lose that game.
Right, exactly.
That's the thing, though. We can talk about style points and we can say, hey, that's great. You cannot afford to lose to the Magic.
The next three games are Orlando, Philadelphia, and Washington. That's all at the Garden.
Need
they
two of
go
three.
Two and one.
Got it.
Two and one. Absolutely.
And the Wizards have not been terrible.
Nope.
So that's got to get those.
And quite frankly, why are we just automatically giving them an L against Philadelphia when they played so well against them on the road?
Is Embiid back for the next one? I assume
no,
so.
He's going to be out
no,
for 2 weeks.
No.
Two weeks. Yeah.
So why not?
Very quickly, not Emmanuel, but very quickly, Don took a chance yesterday. We talked about this in the soft open. He alienated a huge portion of Islander Nation. They played so well, and he picked against them in his ice picks. But he's just all about winning, and he won, and the Islanders lost. But they also, Don, and I just want to get it from you so you can explain to our listeners, they lose Anders Lee for the rest of the year with knee surgery. How big a blow is that?
Well, he's your captain. And it's not a team that lights it up offensively, so you lose a gifted offensive player and you lose your captain. But here's the good news, okay, if there can be good news in this. And Lamoriello said it today. They will trade for a player, and it will be a player of significance. Remember, they got Pageot last year, and that was a huge help to them to get to the conference final. Lou's got a history of making deals for Doug Gilmore, Alexander McGillney, Neil Broughton, Joe Nieuwendyk when he was with the Devils. When he thinks he's got a chance to win and he goes out and tries to make a deal, he brings back somebody significant. So there are some players out there, especially in Buffalo, that just fired their coach, Ralph Krueger, a long time coming. He'll make a deal of somebody significant. So he will replace Lee. Now, I don't know if you could replace the leadership and him specifically because he's a big, thick body that can play. But they'll get somebody of significance, and that you can count, you can bank on that. And Lou will have them ready to try to get by without him.
Let me throw this at you, and it's wacky and it's crazy. It's coming from somebody with no hockey background at all.
All right.
Can they get Tavares back?
No, they can't get Tavares back.
Let me think about it.
Well, Toronto just won't trade him?
And why would they trade him? I mean, Toronto's one of the better teams in the league. He's playing great. I don't think that's going to happen.
You can dream, right?
No, so man, that was when
dream about what?
You know what, Don? You know what that was?
What was that?
That was one of the calls we get. Michael, the Yankees need.
That's
to
exactly
trade
what it was.
For Jacob DeGrom,
for
they
Ronald
need
Torres.
DeGrom. But get him.
Listen, he's not playing well, but they can get Taylor Hall, who I think a change of scenery will be nice for him because he's just dying there in Buffalo.
Can they get Eichel?
No.
Do they have room under the cap to get a big money?
Well, Eichel's hurt anyway. He's not going to do that.
But he's not hurt for the rest of the year, is he?
No, but it's not going to happen. They're not going to add that kind of side. That's ridiculous. Like, Hall's a free agent at the end of the year. They'll get that.
Right.
They're not going to bring in a guy that's making that much money. That's not a Lou move. A Lou move is finding someone that is going to fit here perfectly for what they're trying to do this year. So Palmieri in New Jersey, maybe they get a Granlund, maybe they get, I think Hall makes a lot of sense. That's the kind of deal he'll make. And there's been, not all of them work. McGillney worked, Broughton worked, Nieuwendyk worked. More times than not, they do work. So this is why you're excited about the Islanders, because Lou's in charge, and he will make a move that will make them, if not better, at least equal to when they lost Lee.
All right, before we break, I have to disagree with a good friend of ours.
Uh-oh.
So Stephen A. on Stephen A.'s World, which you could see on ESPN Plus.
That's right.
Yes.
Said this about the Nets. Okay, you ready for this? This is kind of startling. Let's leave it at that, and I'll let you listen. Here's Stephen A. on Stephen A.'s World.
My Knicks are not a team the Brooklyn Nets actually want to face in the playoffs. I'll tell you why. I know that sounds sacrilegious. I know that sounds blasphemous. But I'm going to tell you why. All the expectations would be on the Nets. KD, Kyrie, James Harden. More so KD and Kyrie because they chose Brooklyn over Madison Square Garden. You go up against the Knicks and you lose. Lord, it wouldn't get any worse than that. Even Spike Lee wouldn't pick the Knicks. But if they made it a series, my Lord, Madison Square Garden, maybe even packed, and half the crowd at the Barclays cheering for the Knicks too, those Nets palms might possibly get sweaty fast. And if they lost, they'd never live it down. Never.
So if I could do it like Belushi, I'd raise my eyebrow. Any series that the Nets play in the playoffs, they're going to be expected to win. They have three of the best players. You think the Nets are worried about the Knicks? You think if the Nets drew the Knicks in the first round that they'd be worried? They wouldn't be worried at all. And they're not invested in the New York angle the way Stephen A. is. If they lose, they lose. If they lose to anybody, if they lost to Miami, if they lost to anybody, they'd be embarrassed. They're not supposed to lose. They're built to win. They're not worried about the Knicks whatsoever.
I think they would be a little extra embarrassed.
I don't think so. I don't think they care. They've got to win against anybody they play.
I know, but I do think there's an element of they blatantly chose not to go to the Knicks and went to the Nets. And if you then turned around and lost to the no-name Knicks, it would be extra embarrassing.
But do you think they're worried about it?
No, they're
not worried about it. But I do think Peter's right. There's a little extra embarrassment if it came against the Knicks. But make no mistake, any first-round loss would be a colossal disaster. maybe a little spicier if it were the Knicks and have to live with it in your own backyard. But lose to anybody in the first, really, three rounds at this point, but specifically the first round, because that's when they would face the Knicks, it'd be very difficult to get up from that, regardless of who it was.
Absolutely. That's my point. It's not the Knicks. It's anybody in the bottom. You know, they might finish first or second, but you take a look at those top four teams. They could finish fourth, the Nets. Sixers don't lose. They're still a game ahead. Then Milwaukee doesn't lose. They're right behind. Miami doesn't lose. They're right there, too. So it's a very, very fluid situation. They can't, as Don said, the best way to put it, they can't lose in the first round.
No, they can't.
They can't lose in the second round. I don't think they could lose in the conference finals. That's how they're built. If they don't get to the NBA finals, this season is a colossal failure for the Nets.
By the way, it is funny. They could end up with a spicy first round, though. Like, there's a world in which they're the two, and the Celtics are the seven, and the Celtics are picking up at the end, and they have a tough first round matchup. Not that I think the Celtics are good, but they could be interesting.
But you're like, the Sixers and the Bucks never lose. Well, the Nets never lose, and they are going to get better, because what they're going to do, Michael, is they're going to make a trade for the best player in basketball, not have to give up anything when KD comes back. That's the difference with them and everybody else, is they're going to get the best player, one of the best players in basketball, back.
Hi, everybody. I want to remind you that it's during ENN, right, Peter? We're going to reveal.
Oh, yeah.
It's the brackets for Drop Madness. So many people are so anticipating this. And starting tomorrow, the highly anticipated return of Drop Madness presented by Wendy's. So have your dials tuned to 98.7 ESPN at 3 p.m. and be ready to cast votes for each matchup at TMKS ESPN on Twitter. Drop Madness is presented by Wendy's, where quality is our recipe. Mm. Wendy's, we got you. I'm excited about this.
I know this is the tradition. We unveil it during ENN, but I think Peter would even agree. This is 5 o'clock worthy. This is 5:03 worthy.
I actually do think so, but yeah, no one likes me.
True. And also,
well, everybody likes you because that's why it's on ENN. I'm just saying that it's that big.
I wonder, Andrew has been a little under the weather, if he did a really good job with the seedings. My guess is even when he's not under the weather, he does a terrible job. So this could be an absolute atrocity.
I try every day.
There'll be at least 3 egregious decisions.
No, because I've had it.
Yeah. All right, so let's sit back. We'll talk with you. Get involved. 1-800-919-3776. It's Michael Kay. It's Don Marco LaGreca. And it's Peter Elliott Rosenberg. And it's you right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Check it out now.
Welcome back to the Michael Kay Show, everybody. My daughter just made an appearance on Yes. She thought we were off the air and ran to say hello. Yes. Really, really. I mean, just such sad news about Sean Bradley. I don't know if you guys saw this.
I did.
He was riding a bike a block away from his house in Utah. A block away. He was a block away from home. And he got hit from behind, severed his spinal cord, and he's paralyzed. And so the Mavericks announced it, and, he's got great rehabilitation people, and it's just, like that. Life is like that.
I know.
Very sad. Very sad. Let's go to the phones. 1-800-919-3776. We'll start off with Jimmy in Connecticut. Jimmy.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
How you doing?
So, listen. Good. So, I am 26 years old, and I've been a Knicks fan since around 2002. I kind of missed the glory of the 90s, and that was really just the beginning of the unraveling of the Knicks, as you all know. So, I will tell you that this year, just from the beginning, what I've noticed more than just obviously they're not talented enough. They're not in the same stratosphere as the Nets right now, as we've talked about. But the character and the culture of the team has completely changed. And I think that's a combination of Thibs holding them to a high standard and the players being willing to buy in and hold themselves to a high standard. And I think if Thibs, as they add more pieces over the next couple of years, can get those new pieces to buy in, I think this team can really be something special in the next couple of years. I really do. I think we have a lot to look forward to.
I couldn't agree with you more, and I think that this was what this year was about, is to change the culture, change the way people think about it. Not fans, change the way other players think about it. We had Mike Breen on yesterday, and he said a lot of players, you know, he does the national games, players are always talking about, wow, the Knicks just seem like they're locked in. It's a big deal. It is an absolute big deal, and that's why they want to make the playoffs this year too.
And that's why I kind of disagree with Mike that it wouldn't be a disappointment if they missed. And I know they're close to missing it because the 11th place team and the 10th place team may not be that much different. But I think it's okay, Michael, to be fully engaged with the rebuild and yet still adjust your sights and expectations and say, I want this team to make the playoffs. And I don't think you should just sit there as a fan and go, I can live with missing it. Because if you miss it, Michael, we just admitted, that meant you lost some games you were supposed to win. That means there's some losses against teams that are behind you in the standings, and I don't think that's acceptable, even in a rebuild.
Also, we need to make a decision on this show.
It's Tibbs.
It's Tibbs. We talked to Mike Breen. His name is Thibodeau, but the nickname is Tibbs, not Thibs.
And I'm comfortable with saying Thibodeau as well.
Now, Peter, I'm going to let you make this decision because I'm always the bad guy. So if somebody comes on the air and says Thibs, click them, hang up right away?
No. But do what Peter did. I love what Peter did during that call. Very subtly going Tibbs. Tibbs.
Yeah.
We didn't stop Jimmy, though. Jimmy kept going.
No, but
Jimmy doesn't listen to that.
For all of them, we just got to go Tibbs.
Tibbs.
But when it's the full name, it's Thibodeau.
That's fine.
Yeah, and if that's the case, then I'm never going to call him, you know, by his full last name. It'll just always be Tibbs. It's kind of like what I want to do when people call you Mike. Say Michael.
Interesting.
I don't like when people call you Mike. It's
you know
too
who called me Mike a
it's
lot?
Inaccurate.
I was surprised on Monday's broadcast with John Sterling. He kept calling me Mike.
Did he do that back in the day?
I couldn't recall. I can't recall yesterday, so I couldn't really remember.
I noticed a lot of people have been calling you Mike these days.
I don't care.
Beef tongue.
Kind of do.
And no, I don't care what people call me. I don't like to write it like when I had a byline. I didn't like Mike K, like, you know, the Weekly Reader. Michael K seemed more, you know. And my mom always wanted me called Michael. She didn't like the name Mike.
I think Mike K is more physically imposing.
No, it's not. Michael
K is, I think, intellectually imposing.
No.
But if I'm getting into a fight with Mike K, I'm worried. I get into a fight with Michael K, like physical brawl. I'm not as worried. A sight unseen,
Michael,
obviously.
Michael is not a tough name.
No.
Oh, really? Michael Jordan?
Yeah, but
Mike tough, Jordan's he's not.
But he's a Mike good basketball Tyson. Player, but if I'm fighting him in the ring, no. But Mike Tyson? Michael Tyson? Mike Tyson? Give me a break.
Yeah, it had to be Mike.
Well, we had
Iron they Michael.
Just, they played Iron Michael. well, they just played the center stage that I interviewed him. I kept calling him Michael Gerard. That's what I did. I don't short
God,
names.
So annoying. I think that there's a physical element to Mike that lacks in Michael.
Well, then call me whatever you like. I don't care. I don't care. Mike, it's almost over.
No,
call me what
no,
you
no
want.
It's not almost over, Michael. Mike Tyson. Mike Ditka. You couldn't get away with Michael Ditka.
You got away with Michael Jordan, though. You keep forgetting that.
Because, again, there was nothing physically imposing about Michael Jordan.
Oh, yes, there was.
He was a skillful basketball player. But Mike Ditka was the head coach of the greatest defense of all time. Mike Tyson wasn't a boxer. He was a fighter. He was a brawler. He was going to knock you out in 30 seconds. Michael Jordan is a beauty and a technical way he played basketball. If Michael Jordan played basketball like Oakley, he'd be Mike Jordan.
I don't think you're
no
right.
No question.
How about King Michael of Austria?
I'm not familiar with his work.
I just made him up, but it sounded better than King Mike, right?
King Mike doesn't work. It sounds like King Ralph.
That's right. King Michael of Austria is a big deal.
I just think there's something to this, Peter.
Michael sounds smart. Mike sounds tough.
So then I should go by the name Michael Mike.
Oh, well, it's funny.
So you know, I could be smart and tough.
Well, it's funny. You know, my dad is definitely smart, not tough. And he's a Mike, not a Michael.
Well, when he's sporting that mustache, he's pretty tough looking.
And although he really goes by MJ anyway, so.
Here's an amazing thing, though, about your mustache, Peter.
Go ahead.
You essentially grew that overnight.
Yeah, that's crazy, right?
I mean, you are quite hirsute. You really
no,
are.
No, no, that's not even like,
hairy. There's some
beast.
Hair missing
no,
on
no,
his arm.
No. I wish what you were saying was true. The only place that hair grows quickly on my body is places where I don't want it.
Excuse
on my
me?
Face, my beard does not grow that quickly. It's just that I shaved and left the mustache there.
But it's still impressive, and obviously the hair grows on your arms like it's a chia pet.
Exactly.
Also, I was wrong. It wasn't Sesame Street. It was the electric company. Luis Avalos. Look it up, Michael. That's what he looks like, Luis Avalos from the electric company.
Yeah.
Bald. Look at it. Tell me I'm wrong.
I'll do that during the break.
A-V-A-L-O-S.
I'm going to look up Luis Avalos, and then we'll come back and talk about it and take your phone calls right here on The K Show 98.7 ESPN, and yes.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN. This is the Michael K. Show.
Mike Tannenbaum was on with Greeny, and he was asked, should the Jets draft Zach Wilson?
100%, and I've worked for guys like Parcells and Belichick, Mangini, Rex, and defensive coaches acquire offensive players they struggle defending.
Where the hell's he going with that? Sam's not as mobile, so I'm going to go draft the next quarterback because he's more mobile. And he throws Bill Parcells out. Bill Parcells said he would keep Sam over anybody else that's in the draft. You have every right to want Wilson over Darnold. I mean, Mike Tannenbaum's entitled to his opinion. But don't give me all the gobbledygook of coaches draft players that are hard to defend and Bill Parcells. No, they draft quarterbacks who they think are going to be good.
The Michael K. Show.
Wow, going up and in on Tannenbaum.
On 98.7 ESPN.
You know, now that I hear it again, and Peter, rein me in if I'm off base here.
Okay.
That was the most vicious broadside attack to one of the people that works at ESPN that I've ever heard anybody make. I mean, house-on-house crime. That's exactly what that was.
Well,
I'm stunned by it. I'm shocked by it. And I think that Don owes Mike, who's been a friend of the show for a long time, I think he owes him an immediate written apology.
I don't know if I'd go that far. It was an attack. Now, you did also, just moments before that, attack our very own Stephen A. Smith.
No. I did it in a respectful way.
You yelled, though.
What the
yell.
H-E double hockey sticks is he talking about?
Well, but listen, first of all, I have personally known Mike Tannenbaum longer than the both of you combined.
Oh, what do you want,
okay?
An award?
No. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that I know him. I know him personally. And this is how people who know each other speak to each other when they disagree. There was zero disrespect.
I don't know.
I said I respect his opinion, but I do think that he had a lot of gobbledygook. And listen, I would expect you guys to call on me when you disagree with something that I say, or do you think that I say something that doesn't make any sense?
We can't get
regardless of whether he works at the company, doesn't work at the company, listen, he has an opinion. We air it. I disagree. That's sports radio. If you can't handle it, man, get out.
But you went with gobbledygook, which is a really cute way of saying, you know, excrement. That's exactly what you said.
Well, exactly. That's what I thought of. That's what I thought of that part of his opinion. Again,
wow.
I respect his opinion. If he likes Wilson better than Sam, he knows a lot more football than I do. He's been paid to know this stuff, and I respect that opinion. But the reason he got there with all of the analogy stuff, I believed it was gobbledygook. And if he has a problem with that, I don't think he would. I mean, he's a big boy. This is what we do in the business. We go back and forth. And whether he works for Fox or whether he works for ABC, ESPN, CNN, whatever, what, am I supposed to tone it down because he works for us? Then we're a bunch of frauds. Stop it.
We mention it.
That's life.
We protect our own. All right, so this is a statement from the
Rangers. No, I protect the listeners by giving an opinion.
Wow.
Regardless of how it hurts people, bothers people.
Can I read you this Ranger statement? It's more important than this.
Do what you want.
In accordance with the NHL COVID-19 protocol and additional health and safety guidelines, Rangers head coach David Quinn, as well as Rangers assistant coaches Jacques Martin, David Oliver, and Greg Brown will be unavailable for tonight's game. Hartford Wolfpack head coach Chris Knobloch, Hartford Wolfpack associate head coach Gord Murphy, and Rangers associate general manager Chris Drury will be behind the Rangers bench for tonight's game. Knobloch will serve as the acting head coach.
Jacques Martin, by the way.
I'm sorry.
But yeah, this we don't know exactly why. We can assume that obviously something, whether it's contact tracing or one of the coaches has it.
But what didn't about three players have to be put in protocol?
Phil DiGiuseppe was placed in COVID protocol, and then hours later, Fox and Buchnevich were placed. Fox and Buchnevich are off protocol. They'll be available to play tonight. So the assumption then is that DiGiuseppe has it and that Fox and Buchnevich were in contact. They've tested negative 2 days in a row. They're now eligible to play. So I'm either thinking that the coaches came in contact with somebody to test positive, one of the coaches tested positive, whatever. So I'm not sure how much it's related to the players. They got it in the same place or whatever. I mean, these guys aren't in a bubble, right? They're free to go wherever they're going to go when they're not at the at the rink. So, yeah, that's the way it's going to go. Now, I'm a little surprised this isn't enough to postpone the game. I don't know whether that's because it's an NBC Sportsnet game and they want to go forward, or whether they just think, hey, the coaches are available, they're comfortable with those guys coaching, so let's play. But Fox and Buchnevich are available tonight. That's the good news. But, yeah, it's going to be the Hartford Wolfpack and Chris Drury behind the bench.
It's kind of stunning. I mean, again, we saw it with the NFL. They're plowing through. I mean, you cannot make – Don's just surmising here, but you can't make a COVID decision because something's on national TV. Sorry, they can run a repeat of something, but they probably just – wouldn't you think a coach has been in close contact with every single player?
Well,
so wouldn't that extend the contact tracing?
Well, there's obviously rules, right? It was 6 feet, masks, and all that. Now, what I find interesting is that you could be sitting next to somebody on a bench during a game, and then you're not in contact. But if you're within 6 feet of them, like if you decided to drive home after the game, then you are in contact. So there seems to be some inconsistency. But obviously, whatever the contact tracing is, or whatever the actual protocols away from the rink are, that somebody was close enough to a person that had it that they now have to test positive X amount of days. I believe it's 2 days in a row before they're able to rejoin the team. So, but I don't know exactly what protocol would have been violated or what constitutes contact or not. Because, again, these guys are playing against each other, right? They're lined up against each other on the ice. They're sitting next to each other on the bench. But I guess that doesn't constitute contact, but something away from the rink does. So I'd be just guessing at this point.
And you know, we're also just guessing. Well, he could be back. You know, two tests sounds like it could be 2 days. Well, I mean, just take a look at Derrick Rose. Not a long time. And, you know, Thibodeau might have tipped his hand just a bit yesterday when he said, oh, he's feeling a little bit better. So, obviously, it sounds like he had COVID. It wasn't just being, you know, put aside and put into quarantine because you had contact with somebody. It sounds like he got it. So it could definitely go a long way, and it could last a long time as well. So, you know, you just cross your fingers that Quinn and the other assistants are okay.
Scary. Yeah, and I'll try to find out what information I can, whether the other, are they asymptomatic? Do they even have it? Like I said, I don't know. They coached in the game on Monday, so I don't think it has anything to do with being close to DiGiuseppe because Fox and Buchnevich were unavailable because they were in COVID protocol, but the coaches still coach. So it seems like it's another incident, but nobody else, none of the other players have been placed on it, so either a coach came in contact with somebody, maybe a family member, maybe a friend, or one of the coaches has it. I don't know. But they're under no obligation to tell us anything other than they're in COVID protocol.
That's the one thing I wonder about with all the leagues. And I'm sure that the union negotiated this of all the separate players' unions. But why are we hiding it? It's not a shame. It's not like you did something wrong to get it. So, well, I mean, why do we play this game? You know, we can't tell you whether they have it or not. I don't quite understand that. It doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. You're putting it when you act like that, it almost adds a scarlet letter. I mean, you didn't go out and get a sexually transmitted disease. You got a disease that so many people in this world are getting. It's nothing to be ashamed of.
No, it's not at all, but I could tell you probably why the NHL did it, and that was, if you remember, early in the pandemic, Austin Matthews tested positive.
Right.
And a reporter up in Toronto found out, reported it, and Matthews still is not on speaking terms with that reporter. He was livid that reporter made the announcement. And I don't know why Austin was, as you said. It's not anything you do wrong. I mean, and it doesn't.
Sometimes it is.
Sometimes it isn't. I mean, I've talked to a lot of people, unless they're lying to me, that they don't know how they got it. You know, I guess it's possible, Peter, you could wear a mask and you could social distance and still get it. But maybe there is that stigma of now everybody's going to think that I broke protocol or everybody's going to think I'm not taking it seriously. But for whatever reason, there's enough players or people that feel like something's being violated. But I don't necessarily need to know who is positive. But in my walk of life, I certainly want to know if I was somebody who came in contact so that I can go get tested, so I can make sure that I'm okay and my family's okay. So, but I do think there is something to transparency here because it is something that can affect people that you were in contact with.
Now, you bring up a good point, Peter. We don't have to know how somebody got it. I mean, you know, I got it because, you know, I went into a bar and started making out with somebody. That makes you look bad. But if you got COVID-19, we don't have to know how you got it, but what's the harm in telling people that somebody has COVID-19?
I've never understood that from the very beginning. I mean, maybe the first few weeks, but after this became clear that so many people were getting it.
And people that have done the right things, it just got through all their protection.
I know a couple of friends that I trust that had it, and they swear to me they have no idea how they got it. Like, they've been careful, they've been wearing the masks, and you know, and I don't look down on them. In fact, I get concerned myself going, geez, I guess that can happen to me because I feel like I'm doing all the right things too. But, you know, it can just happen. And I don't think anybody should be labeled as somebody that violated protocol or thinks it's the flu or is a truther just because they happen to get it. That's unfair.
This portion of the Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by 2 by London. Join 2 by London, the engagement shop at London Jewelers, for their annual wedding band event tomorrow, March 18th. Through Sunday, March 21st, enjoy 20% off all wedding bands. For locations and to make an appointment, visit my good friends at 2bylondon.com. All right, let's take some phone calls. Here's Trevor. He's in the car. Trevor, you're next on the show.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
Doing well. Huge fan of the show. First time, long time.
Thank you, Trev.
Michael, you just made a point about, why they can't disclose who has it. I work in healthcare, and it's not an issue about the league disclosing it. It's more so a HIPAA violation, so they're not really allowed to say exactly what the condition is. You know, across sports, it's upper, you know, or lower leg or anything like that injury. So it's a violation of their rights of HIPAA.
Totally get that, Trevor. But obviously, we do hear about athletes. Oh, he has a torn rotator cuff. Oh, he has to have Tommy John surgery. If the athlete allows it to be said, what is going on at the Garden, Don? Are they filming Star Wars?
Do you not have a memory? Are you a goldfish?
No. I'm not a goldfish, but remember the last time this happened, your brilliant engineer said that he had patched something in that he shouldn't have. This is very loud.
I will ask Chris. He's not in the room now.
Well, he should be there.
Well, just turn me down and I'll figure it out.
No. We have to have you on the show.
But
you can't just take 70% of the talk out and
if
expect
I can
it
fight
to go
through this, and it looks like the video is concluded, so I might be able to get this
there
in.
There we go.
You know, but what it does is add speculation. Like,
exactly.
Like, at least with the NHL, is that a player's been placed on COVID protocol. All right, we can't tell you if he's positive or not, but what do we assume? He's been placed on COVID protocol. So, wait, when Buchnevich and Fox were placed on COVID protocol, all right, they're not out with a lower body injury, upper body injury. They didn't take a leave of absence, right? They're on COVID protocol. So we now have to – it's one of two things. They came in contact or they haven't. So you're speculating anyway.
Right.
And it turned out they didn't have it because they come back and they play. So, and when they don't come back and play, then the assumption is, well, then they must have it. So we're going to figure it out anyway.
The bottom line is the player can waive the HIPAA law. So for the players to say that they don't want it made public, and there are players that said, listen, make it public. Let people know. Zach Britton brought it up the other day, that he lost 18 pounds with it. So, yeah, absolutely a player could waive the HIPAA laws. I understand why you can't say it, but there are injuries that are revealed. I mean, it happens all the time. Anders Lee is getting knee surgery. Obviously, the Islanders wouldn't be able to tell you unless Anders Lee said it was okay.
Right.
So why are players saying, I don't want people to know if I had COVID-19?
Right, and we do the upper body, lower body, not because of HIPAA, but because they don't want a competitive advantage to the other team, saying when that guy comes back, I'm going to go after the knee that it was hurt. You know,
right.
So that's not any kind of HIPAA. Listen, whatever. You know, but when we have – I'm not concerned about it in sports, Michael, because I'm not going to be in contact with any of the Ranger coaches. But I'm just talking about in actual life. If somebody has COVID and I work with him or I'm friends with them, I want to know. Because I want to know if I came in contact with them. Because I don't work in a league or I don't have a job where there's going to be contact tracing done by my league. You know, so I'm going to have to kind of do it on my own. So I would like to know if the people that I came in contact with had it.
Let's go to John in Chatham. What's up, Johnny?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. You?
Good, good, good.
Good.
Peter.
Hey there.
The mustache.
You hate it.
I got a look-alike. And you'll notice, guys, with your wrestling background, an old wrestling announcer. You look like a young, mean Gene Okerlund.
Wow. This is the sweetest compliment of anyone who's ever...
People said that on Twitter, too, Peter.
Really?
Yeah.
That is such a wonderful compliment.
You're going to have to lose it anyway if you're doing a Yankee broadcast. You got to lose the mustache.
Oh, excellent point.
No,
John,
that's not true.
Excellent point.
That's not
I'm
true.
Glad yep. you brought
maybe,
that up.
Maybe they could shave for like a donation to the Make-A-Wish.
Yeah, I like the way you think. And by the way, Don, just telling you, Chris Sheeran is red hot at you.
Wow.
Red hot. You mentioned when Flip said you'd have to shave your beard and cut your hair to do the broadcast next Wednesday, and you played tattletale right away and said, "Well, Chris Sheeran has a beard."
Wow.
Flip made him shave the beard.
No, but
yeah,
no, but wait a minute. He was on camera with the beard.
Not today. Look, he has no beard.
But how am I blowing the whistle on the guy when
because
he
it was
had
probably
the
flying,
beard
was,
on TV?
It was probably flying under the radar. Nobody said anything. Then
well,
you
that's
open
not
your big
fault.
Trap, and then
wait
some
a minute,
people
Peter.
Some people heard it, and Flip made him shave it. He's red
Peter,
hot at you.
Peter, then that's Chris's fault for trying to fly under the radar on his own network.
Now, hold on, though. I will say, though, Don, while I understand what you're saying, anytime someone comes to you and you throw someone else out there instead, it's at least a dry snitch, if not a full snitch.
No, no, no. It's here's where it is that what you're telling me that there's a rule. Well, here's an example where it's not a rule. Somebody on your own network, because the assumption is Flip knows that. Because he runs the network, somebody on the show that he didn't want to put us on.
Well, then the best
the broadcast
thing to do
because
say,
he didn't want the holy trinity of the three of us together. Then he would know watching the show that sometimes the lead into our segment is Chris giving sports updates, and he has a full beard.
Wow, and he's bald faced.
He
hey,
really
listen,
is.
I got Hey, you say the word. If they want, if I have to shave for Wednesday, then I'll shave.
No, no, no. He was leaving that alone, but you had to throw Chris under the bus, and Chris is hunting for you.
But I'm but the hunt
I know that people saw it, but
I mean,
you made
really,
it a thing. You made it
zero
a thing.
Fear. Zero fear. Okay? Oh. So don't even throw that. I respect Chris and I like Chris, but I'm not afraid of Chris. Okay?
No, Chris
so don't
could
throw
kill
that
you.
He's
he does a boxing show.
He's got I mean really they could do a boxing show. So what?
He does a boxing show.
I love
that just
I'm not
makes
gonna name
you tougher,
names.
I'm sorry.
The reasons why Michael thinks people would beat me up are like the
God,
funniest
well, Don,
things.
Don, if Chris can get credit for he does a boxing show, how far can I get for the man has won a WWE championship?
Yeah, he was a 24/7 champion for 16 hours. Listen, you're not blowing the whistle on somebody that's a public figure that is on the network that is run by the guy that I'm supposedly
Peter,
squealing
Peter,
to.
Peter, I know you're always the way you guys have scripted this out. You're always against me. Am I right or wrong on this?
In this case, Don should not have said, "What about so and so?" and use someone else. Even if the person's on the air, you don't want to remind the authority about that. It is a slight, slight violation.
Now,
no,
speaking
it's not a violation of
facial hair, I don't know if you guys saw this. Did you watch the Knick pregame last night?
No.
Okay.
I did not know.
Well, they had on the senior vice president and head of referee development and training of the NBA. They had him on to talk about the call with Julius Randle that he flipped out when Kyrie Irving, And his name is Monty McCutcheon.
Oh, he has to have a good mustache.
So Monty used to be an official, clean cut, very straight-laced. You got to see what Monty McCutcheon became. If you get a chance, give a little Google for the people. Because it's in a world. You know Jack Dorsey, the guy who invented Twitter?
Monty McCutcheon, you said?
Yeah. McCutcheon. Monty, M-O-N-T-Y. Sure. It's in a word troubling. He's got Jack Dorsey's beard, and I don't even know how to explain the eyeglasses.
Wow, just put Monty and McCutcheon comes up. So this, oh my dear God.
So they show it during the freaking show, right?
I don't see it. Don, what do you just typed in Monty McCutcheon and you see something?
I just searched Twitter, put Monty, McCutcheon automatically comes up. This is the eyeglasses.
I mean, and this is a big time guy in the NBA.
Those rims are as thick as the actual rims in NBA games.
Yeah, no. They're bigger than rims on your car.
No.
What do you mean no?
This is not okay. Being in the house with full technology and a family, this is not a way to look.
But, and there is one tweet that has a picture of him when he was an official in the NBA
clean
and now
cut, right?
Two completely different human beings. And you would never guess that they were the same guy.
So you got Bill Pito as the host on the NFL pregame, the NBA pregame on Yes. Or, I'm sorry, on MSG. And then Alan Hahn is at his home studio. And Wally Szczerbiak is in the studio with Pito. And so Hahn comments on what McCutcheon says and doesn't even bring it up. It's the elephant in the room. And
right.
Then Wally Szczerbiak starts bringing it up, and he can't get through what he's saying. He goes, boy, he looks a lot different than he did when he was an official. I mean, it's unbelievable that somebody could change that much.
Unless I knew ahead of time. If I were any of those guys, I would assume that this was just a gag. Like, this is a joke, right? This is not who we think it is. Let's go to break. Let's reassess because this can't be who we were supposed to be talking to.
I was told by somebody that somebody at MSG, it was pre-taped. They go, no, I think you got the wrong guy. That's not Monty McCutcheon. And they said, no, it is. Everybody was startled.
Well,
and he's not just somebody that they found off the street. He's the senior vice president in the NBA.
And currently.
Currently.
I don't know if you're familiar with the
show. It was Bill Pito.
You got to ask about it.
Yeah, we got to get Pito on the line.
No, you do.
No, you can't insult somebody.
Hold on. You can't, with a little chuckle, go, hey, Monty, can't help but notice quite a look you've cultivated here.
And again, if you look at him as an NBA official, Peter, it's a different human being.
He looks like a mix of the fat Jewish and Mick Foley.
Well, I don't know if you guys are familiar at all with this genre of music called steampunk.
No. I'm familiar with ZZ Top.
That's what they look like. Search steampunk, and that's what somebody in a steampunk band would look like.
Wow, this is troubling.
Wow.
I don't know if this falls under the category of, like, catfished, because you could see it, but I don't think that's...
You don't think it's Monty McCutcheon. You think it's somebody else that they got.
I think it is, because
somebody at MSG made a terrible mistake.
See, however you feel about my mustache today, it's not quite the same level.
No,
it doesn't rise to this.
No, it doesn't even come close.
Is there something wrong with me, though? I turned on our broadcast here on Yes, and I don't hate how it looks. Maybe there's something wrong with me.
There is. We'll come back. We'll take your phone calls, 1-800-919-3776. I just retweeted it, so if you follow me on Twitter, you'll see Monty McCutcheon as an official and today as an executive vice president in the NBA. Two different people. And if you're not near Twitter, but you know how Twitter founder Jack Dorsey looks, picture that and put on the most obscene looking glasses, round glasses with thick rims that you could ever see. And that's what Monty has become. The Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. It's Kayla Greca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, no Stephen A. Smith. That's music always reminds me of that, but we'll go to the phones. Yes. Let's go to John in Franklin Square. Johnny.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
All right, man. Love the show. I just wanted to say Monday, you and John doing the show brought a lot of good memories to me and my dad from the late 90s and early 2000s. And the broadcast next Wednesday, the only thing that would make it better is if you could get Brett Gardner to do an interview with Rosenberg for being a tryhard, you know?
Oh, what a great idea, John.
And I got to tell you, John, if we get that interview, I will make sure that it gets brought up. It will be addressed.
I would love it. I would love it.
John, that would be in a word troubling because Brett Gardner would hunt down Peter.
Oh, and you know what? Because Brett takes every – there's not an ounce of sense of humor with that guy, so he would not.
You know why? Try hard.
doubling down, I love it.
Well, you just set it up. I didn't know he had no sense of humor. Is that true?
He has a sense of humor. Don doesn't always talk.
So, yeah, Don. Oh,
How about this? He's the one that, you know, he wears Gardner for Players Weekend because he takes it very seriously.
Right. This is
he doesn't
his
get
job,
into this guardy
fun off the air.
Stuff.
He has fun outside the lines.
You honestly, Michael, seriously, you have no idea.
No. I've heard that around the clubhouse wears lampshades, you know, juggles like cats.
You always
He's
go right to lampshade, but I don't know if I believe that.
A lot of people on Twitter are saying that you look with the new mustache, Peter, like Artie Bucco of Sopranos.
Yeah, that's a good one. And that's not a bad look. Artie
a great
well.
Guy.
No, what? Not a great guy.
Artie wasn't the best guy.
Hold on. Relative to that show?
Yeah. Okay, that's true.
He was like Jesus floating in from the heaven. Come on.
Excellent point.
Give Artie Bucco a break, for God's sake.
What did you want to say?
I want to suggest something, and I feel like you're going to make fun of it and shoot it down, but I'm seriously thinking of ways to I might be able to contribute that could be interesting, something different, you know, because you don't treat me seriously or think I'm a respectable broadcaster, so you didn't offer me to maybe get a half inning of calling balls and strikes. So
do you really think you could do that?
Call ball
art, my friend.
Now, would I be nervous about it? Absolutely. Yes, I would be
nervous.
I'm nervous
about it.
Yeah, I was going to say, as Don should be. But I think anybody who's watch baseball throughout their life would feel, and as a broadcaster, would think they could do it. Now, if you were to say, could you do Don's job? No. I don't even know how you start there. But I think in the case, I'd have you guys sit right there with me. I think I'd be just fine. But I understand.
Wasn't offered.
Don, you're right. It wasn't offered.
Listen, remember, it was offered to me a half inning if Michael's in a good mood.
Yeah, he could take it from you.
It could be taken right from me.
If Bear, like, barks on one of Michael's home run calls, you're not getting it.
Yeah, you're out. No. You'd be off the broadcast if Bear barks.
And then your mood would change, and then I don't get that.
That's what I mean.
So what is the thing that
Well, I was just going to suggest, I wonder, now that I'm going to say it, it sounds stupid. I don't even want to bring it up.
You said stupid things all the time on the show. So
well, I've been so into the baseball cards. I wonder if that's a little opportunity to bring up maybe some interesting footnotes about things related to players.
Yeah. Well, why don't you get some Toronto Blue Jay? You could actually bring up, the Vlad Guerrero card.
Well, no, but I'm curious I'm going to look at the Yankees. I want to, see what's out there.
You got to keep it to those two teams. We're not doing a talk show. We're doing a game.
Well, I said they're playing the Yankees, aren't they?
Yeah, you can do Yankee and Blue Jay.
Well, yeah, I'm not going to bring up Zion. That's what I mean. But I mean, for example, if a player comes up and maybe someone wouldn't expect that Aaron Hicks has one particularly valuable card, but actually his 2015 blah 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 is worth $38,000. That could be interesting.
I love that idea.
And it's,
well,
it's,
I mean,
it's,
you're the one with the constant connection to John J. Filippelli. Call and ask him. I'm not producing the game.
No, I don't need. I don't think Phil needs. I don't think Flip needs to get that.
If
involved.
You call him Phil, you're off the air.
Right, but, hey, if, but if he were to throw out like if you're doing the play by play, I'll throw something out because I'm doing homework on the game, and I might throw out a stat or something in relation to last year or the upcoming season, and Peter can tell you how much that person's that player's rookie card's worth.
I mean, I'm not going to do it every at bat, but no, if there's one that stands out. Where right. I got to tell you, this is interesting, but he actually has a signed card that last year went for $138,000. Right. That could right. be interesting. Could be a footnote.
Yeah, if you find that, get back to me.
Oh,
somebody
wow.
in the game that will have a card worth $138,000. I'd like to see it.
I don't know what Aaron Judge is.
$138,000. I'll play along. Let's go to Danny in Long Island. Danny.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Peter, my brother, the wealthy attorney, has a very elaborate baseball card collection. Some are worth thousands of dollars. Perhaps we should do lunch with him. I think you'd enjoy looking at the old Honus Wagner card.
He has wow. the your brother has the Honus Wagner.
My brother now goes to Atlantic City to shows. He'll send me like a pristine 1972 Steve Garvey rookie card. Just making it up. He has a good collection.
Wow. Well, if he has the Honus Wagner, it's more than good.
It's a hobby.
Yeah, but did your lawyer brother buy a billboard to get Charlie Batch thrown out of Pittsburgh?
No, he did not.
Okay. No, it was to try to draft Charlie Batch.
No, I'm trying to come up with a nice little.
Speaking of the
go
NFL,
on, Danny.
Guys,
they're being silly.
Only the National Football League can turn 24 to 48 hours of draft watch almost into a spectator event where people are texting. I'm watching. I'm waiting. I'm watching the NFL channel. To see who's going on next, as if it's almost like a sporting event now. Besides the draft, and I got a new rule of life now. You have the laws of gravity, the laws of motion. Here's a new law: the better the conference, the greater differential in free agent signings. We all know the AFC is significantly better, so you have more teams that are looking to add a couple of guys to win a Super Bowl. I counted 95 free agent signings for the AFC against 50 for the NFC. There are teams in the NFC that aren't doing anything because they know they're years away and they're going to do the old draft. And in the AFC, you have so many teams that just need a few players that they're adding wide receivers, the big left tackle, blah, blah, blah. And you have a 50% more players being signed in the AFC. It's going to be so much more dominant. The interconference record this year is going to be out of control.
But you would have to say that those numbers are a bit skewed, Danny, because the Patriots have signed 104 of those.
Yeah, but you got the Steelers signing nobody. So it's all, you know, your apples. But you look at, I mean, if you just looked at the, if you just, they listed in the NFL.com, you just look at it. There's so many quality teams that all sign four or five quality players, and you have teams in the NFC that didn't sign any. The Reds, I don't think have the football team signed anybody, Peter?
Yeah,
no, the Eagles have not signed a single person. The Eagles,
no, we signed a running back too, Miller. They signed a couple of you.
Yeah, but the Eagles haven't signed anybody.
No, nothing exciting.
Right, and all of these players are the major players. To me, seem like they're going to the AFC. And one other thing, Peter, I have to apologize for the guy that started calling you names. When you have a point to make on the Michael Kay Show, if you call up and you speak respectfully, you will be given a chance to make your point. If you start calling people names, you've lost the argument before you started. So,
thank you, Danny. I appreciate that. Because coming out of the gate, and I want to talk to Dum Dum. I mean, where are we really going to go from there?
That's what Gazoo used to call Fred Flintstone. You remember
that's
that?
That's right.
He called him Dum Dum.
Oh, sure.
Which I thought
that's
was rude.
That's a good call.
I mean, Fred's the star of the show. Gregory Gamble tweets this, and I want to know if it's true, because if it is, it bothers me. He said, Real Michael Kay is essentially creating an abusive work environment on the show. Watching Rosenberg Radio tiptoe around a great idea for the upcoming game and Peter Rosenberg's spring training game.
Thank you.
Well,
were you tiptoeing because I'm abusive?
I mean, the people can read into it how they read it. You saw, Don, I was scared to say it out loud.
But I wouldn't call it abusive. It's heel. But it's nothing we can't handle.
But I would like to tell both of you, the producer of the game, his name is Troy Benjamin. I have nothing to do with it. I'm going on the air. You guys do what you want to do.
Hey, I've met Troy several times, and the one thing that jumps out to me about him, open-minded.
Great guy.
He is a great guy.
Very good guy, very open-minded. I think he's going to like a lot of your ideas. Run them by him. That would be smart.
Yeah, you should run it by him.
We should have a meeting.
Yeah, don't start whipping out cards, okay, without running by Troy.
Yeah.
Because there's going to be HE double hockey sticks to pay.
Yes.
I mean, listen, if the edgiest thing that I do that causes trouble is that I mention one of the current player in the game's cards then we are running a very tight ship.
Can I tell you this, Don? And I'll make believe that Peter's not listening.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. I really, truly believe he's nervous about this game.
Oh, yeah.
No.
We're taking this very seriously, and we have never done anything like this before, and it's not exactly in the ideal circumstances. When we first envisioned this years ago, it was like actually being in the booth.
Right.
So there's a lot of moving parts here that's going to be very interesting.
I think I basically have to wait for you guys to bring me in. Yeah. Otherwise.
Please don't hold your breath on that.
See now, this is unbelievable.
That's abusive. That's abusive.
See, thank you. This is what the audience is saying. And remember, Michael's being mean to me, Don. Even you would admit it. Don went completely psychopath. Attacked Flip. I played the even Steven guy. I may be the biggest reason this came together. In fact, I believe it was my idea in the first place. And here you are. I bring up an idea, Don. I'm walking on eggshells. Maybe if I mention a baseball card. And what does he do a minute later? Abuse, abuse, abuse. You know what? I may actually file something before the game even
happens. Why don't you call that lawyer in Texas, Busby?
Yeah.
When we come back,
I'd love to read the statement for that.
We are going to reveal what has become a staple of the K Show in March, our Drop Madness Field, presented by Wendy's. That's happening when we get back. Right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.